What is up, Northwoods, and welcome back to another Next Gen Sunday. I'm Kaylee.
And I'm Abe, and we want to encourage you to join the chat online.
And while you're at it, go ahead and drop your favorite 80s movie or TV show. What's yours?
Mine is Miami Vice.
Miami Vice. I like The Little Mermaid, so.
Well, we want to encourage you to join our class, Alpha. It starts on the 29th and answers some of the faith's biggest questions.
Yeah, we actually just got done with a youth alpha, and I thought it was really amazing. What about you?
I thought it was great, too.
Yeah. Also, on August 21st is our Baptism Sunday. It's one of our favorite Sundays of the year. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior but want to take the next steps, I encourage you to ask any questions in the chat below or talk to any of the staff at the church throughout the week. Now, we have a very fun game for you.
Actually, we're going to play 80s trivia. We have some old pictures of our staff.
Not that we're saying any of the staff is old.
They're all very young.
They're all very young and bright people.
But we're going to see if you can guess who they are.
So here's our first picture. Look at her curls.
Yeah.
She kind of looks like her kids now.
Uh-huh.
And that...
This was Katie Bramer.
Ooh, who's next?
Oh, boy. That looks like fun.
Yeah. She has really bright eyes.
This was Amy Sutton.
This is a great picture.
This is great.
This is a phenomenal picture.
It still looks like this.
Yeah, still looks like that.
This is Jason Gilmore.
Oh, and our last one.
Oh, boy. Such fashion.
I know. What style? Kind of jealous, to be honest.
This is Jen Dunaway.
Anyways, we hope you guys enjoyed, and now it's time for Next Gen Sunday. Hello, Northwoods, it's Next Gen Weekend. Stand to our feet, let's worship together. by now, you've probably figured out that it is not a normal weekend around here. It is Next Gen Sunday. My name is Kayla. I work on our student life team, and we are glad you are with us. And actually, I've recruited a few students to help me out with announcements this year, so I'm going to let them take it away.
If you are new to Northwoods this weekend, like it's your very first time, or maybe your second, welcome. You've picked a great Sunday to be here, and we're going to have so much fun. We know Northwoods is a really big church, so we want to help you feel at home. Our team would love to meet you and answer any questions that you have. All you need to do is text NEW to the number on the screen, and one of our pastors will be in touch. Super simple. I hope you enjoy service.
Next Sunday is one of our favorites around here at Northwoods. It's like a baptism weekend.
That's right. Actually, just last year, my brother and I were both baptized in the lake. Water baptism is a great next step for anyone who has decided to follow Jesus. It's simply a public profession of your faith, letting everyone know you believe Christ.
It is also a very important moment in your faith journey. And here at Northwoods, it's a major celebration.
It's going to be a blast. We hope to see you there.
Starting August 30th, we'll be doing our Alpha class here at Northwoods. It's a great place to ask the big questions, discuss your doubt, and learn God's plans for you specifically. There will be dinner involved, so please come. And we just finished wrapping up our Alpha series in Converge. My favorite part was Elijah Rogers discussing the meaning of faith further than just the five letters written on the page. And dunking on kids in Nine Square, because I'm awesome like that. For more information or to register, go ahead and go online.
Well, thanks again for being here. If you have any questions about what we just talked about, I would encourage you to use our Northwoods app, fill out the connection card, and check the box of whatever you want more info about, whether that's baptisms or Alpha, Four Steps, whatever it is, and we will email you that information this week. We'll be in contact. Now, before we head back into our service, I just want to take a moment to say thank you for your giving. You know, I get a front row seat every week to the lives of students here at this church, and I can say your giving is making an impact. It is making a difference. So I just want to say and thank you from the bottom of my heart, from the Student Life team from Discoveryland. Your giving is impacting the next generation. As always, for giving, you can go to northwoods.church/give. You can use the app, you can text, or if you're on campus with us, you can use one of our offering boxes around the room. Well, with that, we are going to head back into our service. I'm just so proud of these students and just the ways they lead and serve. And so we're going to continue with our Converge team leading us in worship. I would invite you to stand and sing with us now.
Into this room, that the presence in this room would just be filled with love, that our hearts would be filled with love because your love is true and kind and everlasting. So I just pray for our pastors today as they come up and share an amazing message with us, that we would just leave this room feeling fulfilled by your love. And I just pray that each and every person in here would know that they are loved by you. God, we thank you for your love. In your name we pray, amen.
Doc, what's going on? I came as fast as I could.
Martin, it's Next Gen Sunday at Northwoods. We have to be there right now. We're preaching.
Holy cow, Doc. How are we going to do that? I mean, it's 1985. Northwoods doesn't even exist yet.
Ah, Marty, I've just finished my latest invention. A time machine.
But, Doc, it's a DeLorean.
Marty, it's more than that. It's a nuclear reactor, and I've attached it to the flux capacitor. It can generate 1.21 gigawatts of power, which can take us back to the future.
1.21 what-a-watts?
1.21 gigawatts, Marty. Now let's get in. I set the machine to take us to August 14th, 2022. At the precise time, the sermon begins.
You sure this is gonna work?
Marty, unless you've got a better idea, I suggest we give it a shot. I've double-checked my calculations.
I hope it's not a discount double-check.
Marty, all we have to do is get the DeLorean up to 88 miles an hour to activate the flux capacitor. Let's get going.
All right.
Let's go back to the future.
Doc, you did it! We made it to Northwoods!
We did it, Marty! And it's the year 2022 at precisely the time the message begins!
And look! We even got some really sweet new shirts out of it!
Aha! I adjusted the flux capacitor to 1.22 gigawatts of power just to see what would happen!
Well, and I guess now we know what that does! Ha ha! All right!
All right!
Oh, well, welcome, Northwoods! Good morning! How we doing? My name is Bruce Marty Nielsen, and I'm the student life pastor. I get to work with our 7th through 12th grade students.
And I'm Chris Doc Clausen, and I get to work with the team that ministers to families with children birth through 5th grade. Hey, and we want to take just a moment as we start this part of the service to introduce you to our amazing staff teams that works alongside Bruce and I and makes all the amazing things happen. And so we have Skylar O'Brien on the Discoveryland team. We have myself, Aaron Bell, Sarah Ice LeBlanc, Melody Webb, Evelyn Powley, Michelle Potter, and Megan Screws. And then, of course, yes, let's give them a hand. And they made me pull that one out of the archives from 11th grade. Got the skinny tie and everything. It was happening back then, I'm telling you. Absolutely. In student ministry, we have Matt Webb and Kayla Hallstrom and Bruce. And Kayla is... She's the chairwoman.
She's
isn't
our
she?
Chairwoman
yeah,
for our
she's
team.
She's the chairwoman
yes,
of the department. And of course, Bruce. Looking great. In
all
the 80s.
Denim all the time. So, well, hey, and not only do we have a great staff to work with our students, but we cannot do what we do without the many volunteers who serve in Discoveryland mm-hmm. in student ministries. A lot of them are out of the room working with children today, but if you're here and you serve with DLand or student ministries, just stand up because we want to say thank you and celebrate you for all that you do with our students. Awesome. Thank you so much. All right.
Oh, and in case you haven't figured it out or guessed yet, our theme this year is Back to the Future. And today we want to have some fun and also present the importance of building into the next generation of the church. Today's teens and children are the church, and they are also the future of the church. Scripture outlines the importance of making sure that the next generation is equipped and prepared to carry on the mission set forth by Jesus Christ.
All right, now, Chris, Math is not my strong suit, but help me out here. Say seven.
Seven.
All right, Northwoods, those watching at home, together, repeat after me. Seven.
Seven. Wait, all right. Didn't we just get done with seven?
Yeah, seven's been kind of a theme
but it's
in Northwoods
theme. Okay.
This summer. So
we'll work with that.
Yeah, so all right. So what we're going to do is today we want to share with you three reasons to invest in the next generation of the church. So that's three.
Three.
And we're going to call those investment reasons. And then we're going to just share with you four ways in which you can invest in the next generation of the church.
Four.
And we're going to call those investment opportunities. So again, when it comes to math, Chris is going to do the heavy lifting. That makes seven. All right. So you're ready?
Seven.
You guys ready? Here we go.
We're ready.
So investment reason number one, to pour into the next generation of the church, is because it is a biblical mandate. So we want to look at some passages that illustrate God's word telling us the need to teach and equip the next generation. So we're going to invite some students to the stage to read some of these passages for us. So if you would welcome senior Bree Turner and freshman Tyler Foster.
Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 2. These are the commands, decrees, and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Deuteronomy 4, 9 through 10. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, "Assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children." Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. These are the commands that I give you today, are to be on your hearts, impress them on your children. Talk to them about me when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates.
Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." 1 Timothy 4:8 through 11. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach.
Thank you, Bree. Thank you, Tyler. Church, these passages are just a few of the scriptures that show us the importance of teaching and discipling others, especially children. These scriptures show the value of living for Jesus Christ and the role that we have to pass on the message of the gospel to others. Our key scripture this morning comes from Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8, and we've asked Chloe Oswald to come and read this for us. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8.
Psalm 78, 1 through 8. My people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have all heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation of the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He has decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. They would put their trust in God, and they would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, but whose spirits were faithful to him.
Thank you, Chloe, Tyler, and Bree. Well, Chris, do you like history?
I do like history.
I enjoy history, too. And so before we start breaking down this psalm, we just want to provide a little bit of historical context for you.
A little bit of background, yeah. So Asaph, he was a great singer and a musician, and he lived during the time of King David and King Solomon in the Old Testament.
Asaph is referenced in 1 Chronicles 15 and chapter 16, as well as 2 Chronicles 29.
And when we get to Psalm 78, it is the longest of the historical psalms. Now, in the Bible, we find different kinds of psalms. Pastor Bruce, would you tell us a little bit about those psalms that we find?
I'd be glad to. So, for an example, there are pilgrimage psalms. So as the Israelites would travel to and from Jerusalem, they would often sing songs about the great and holy city of Jerusalem. We also have messianic psalms. Those are psalms that talk about the person and the work of the Messiah, so Jesus Christ and what he would do. There are wisdom psalms that just provide instruction and guidance and discernment for us as we go through our daily lives. And then, of course, historical psalms that provide historical background.
And so when we get to Psalm 78, we find that history must not repeat itself. That's one of the key themes that we see. The Jewish people would follow God. They would follow his commands, and then they would drift away, and there would be consequences. And then they would turn back to following God again, and then they'd drift away, and there'd be consequences. And this cycle kept repeating. And we can see the consequences of their disobedience as we read the Old Testament. Asaph is emphasizing in this psalm the need to make sure that the current generation stops this vicious cycle. He reminds them that they are to teach and instruct the next generation how to live righteously.
So verse 1 is Asaph's call to attention. He says, "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth." He implores the people to listen and hear what he is about to say. Asaph states that he will speak and disclose the things that have been taught to them, things that have been passed down from their ancestors, and that are important to teach the next generation. So in verses 4 and 5, he actually lists several key things that they are to pass down to the next generation. Number 1, passing down the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Passing down his power, his wonders, and all the things that he has done. Passing down the decreed statutes for Jacob, and passing down the established law in Israel. God created man with the ability to know him and invites us to have a personal relationship with him through Jesus Christ, fellowship with Almighty God. God also created us with free will, which is actually one of his most incredible creations. But the very nature of free will also allows us as individuals to choose not to acknowledge God, to choose not to enter into fellowship with him. And despite all the lies and falsehoods in our world, I truly believe that today's youth are searching for what is real and what gives them purpose. We're going to reference 2 studies done by Lifeway Research this morning. The first one took place in 2016, and they surveyed 2,000 unchurched people in the United States. 57% of them said that they think about at least once a month how they can find meaning and purpose. And folks, that was pre-pandemic. I think the last several years, it's caused all of us to hopefully stop and evaluate and say, what really is important? When things that we're used to are taken away, it helps us reevaluate what truly is going to bring me purpose and fulfillment. Listen, there are forces at work to lead our children away from God's truth. And our enemy, the devil, he's cunning. He's cunning. And his tactics are often so subtle that his lies are disguised and appear to be right. They appear to be moral, and sometimes they even appear to be biblical. And that's why we need to uphold the authority of Almighty God and the authority of Scripture. And by teaching our children about the deeds of God, His power, all that He has done, we can present the truth that God does exist and that He loves us and calls us to a life of true purpose and fulfillment. And it's great that we have this book. We can go back and look what God has done in the past. But folks, our God is not done working. He is alive and active today. And so what we have to do is make sure that we have eyes to see God working around us so we can also help our students and our young people see God is still working. He is still active. He still has powerful deeds that He does. He heals. He answers prayer. And He works to reveal Himself more and more to us. We are to teach them how we can seek first the kingdom of heaven and so much more, which Jesus promises will lead to true purpose and fulfillment. These are the things that we're commanded to pass on to the next generation.
As we move on to verses 6 and 7, Asaph explains why we need to teach the next generation. You see, every generation has a responsibility to pass on to the next generation how to have a relationship with God. And we get to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then as we pass that along to our children, they will pass it along to those who come after them. We should always be intentional to teach the next generation the truths about God. So stop and think for a moment. Think about those who invested in your life, those who taught you God's word, those who demonstrated the love of Jesus to you, who shared the gospel and helped you begin your new life in Christ, the people who discipled you and helped you grow in your faith. I think it's safe to say that all of us here, in one way or another, are here because others invested in our lives and God used them directly or indirectly. I can think of several people who invested in me, especially when I was younger. And just a few quick examples. My great-grandmother was a great woman of faith. Not only did she invest in me, she invested in her church and taught kindergarten and first grade for over 50 years. That's amazing. I think of my grandparents on the other side who prayed for me every single day of my life that they were alive until they passed. And I miss that. And I think of my fifth grade Sunday school teachers and their faith. I think of Wendy and Gary Bolt.
Wow. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And now you get to pour in to younger kids as well. I wonder how many students a few years from now will be saying, oh, Pastor Chris. Anyway, just great legacy there that we have. Folks, we live in a dark world. I think you would agree with that. Verse 8 tells us that all throughout time, there have been those who have heard the word of God. They have seen His works. In the New Testament, they even heard and saw the incarnate God, Jesus Christ, and yet they still chose to reject Him. The depravity of man is becoming increasingly prevalent, and it seems as if each day there are new measures being taken to remove Jesus Christ and the authority of the Word of God from every aspect of our culture. And if it's not removing it, it's preaching a false, distorted message of the Bible that seeks to justify and normalize ungodly behavior. Listen, I don't want to neglect the mandate and risk losing this generation to the world. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be light to others.
John 1:5 gives us hope, and it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus goes on to say in John 8:12, He says, I am the light of the world. Those of us who have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior are the church. And as the church, we have work to do. And this takes us to investment number two, the need for an authentic example. The next generation needs an authentic example of what being a Christ follower looks like.
In preparing for this, came across a quote. It's really popular. Found it everywhere, although I was not able to find who is given as the author, but the message is powerful. It says, if we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Let me just say that again. If the world, if we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Folks, that should be a motivating wake-up call for us. This message this morning is not just for parents and grandparents, although they are in the trenches working with children every day, but it is a call for all of us as adults within the church to see our need and the importance of investing in the next generation of the church. The world is waiting and more than willing to take the lead in teaching youth what it says is true and what it says is right and what it says is morally acceptable. They're more than willing for our youth to define family, to define sexuality, to show them the path to happiness, and even to justify hatred, to teach them that focusing on themselves and putting themselves first is really the best way.
The problem with this is that the way of the world we know doesn't lead to truth. It leads to destruction. And Jesus taught this in Matthew 7, 13 through 14. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Now, sometimes we read this verse and it kind of scares us. There can be a mindset that's adopted even by believers who want to, their children to choose to follow Jesus and make faith their own. But it causes us to hold back because we don't want to mess up. We don't want to force our faith, or we don't want to manipulate our children. We don't need to force our faith or manipulate our children. What's really happening is the enemy is trying to manipulate you and me as parents and as grandparents to think that our example isn't a good one or it's not worth it. And so we give up and we don't try. We can also downplay or minimize the importance of the example as a parent or grandparent and forget to do our part and remembering and not remember that God will do his part.
And listen, I know that as a parent and a youth pastor, I have the fearsome times of not wanting to force my faith upon them. But I want to see them choose for themselves to have their own faith and not just go on the coattails of my faith. And so, you know, that temptation sometimes to maybe not be direct is a real thing. But by not being intentional, by not looking for opportunities to pour into them, we really leave them as prey for the waves of worldly philosophy that are just going to wash over them time after time after time and try to indoctrinate them into believing that and developing a worldview that is not biblical. And yes, there are times for maybe a more direct approach of teaching, but I think sometimes one of the best ways that we can be that authentic example is just to bring someone alongside and say, "Hey, I want you to do life with me. As I live out my faith journey, I want to invite you to walk alongside and we can do life together." So to illustrate this, I would like you guys to be introduced to the drumsticks. So, Bo, who has been around Northwoods and served for a long time, Braden, who's one of our high school, he's a senior this year, and I hope you see the heart behind that illustration. That as Bo played, and then Braden watched, and then Braden played, and then they eventually played together, and it's beautiful. Just harmony. To illustrate that as we live our lives and we invite the youth to say, come and walk alongside and do life with me, that we are helping to prepare them to live strong Christian lives for the glory of God.
And that leads us to investment reason number 3, leaving a legacy for the future church. We're part of a rich legacy here at Northwoods, and you and I get to invest into that legacy. In our Next Gen Ministries, we're committed to partnering with parents and families to help see young people put their trust in God, live as faithful followers of Jesus, and commit to not just attending, but being the church. And we want to help build healthy, Christ-centered families. It's just simple multiplication. We want to see individuals walking faithfully in Jesus. You're not just a part of a biological family. You're part of God's plan to build a church family that in turn builds each other up and demonstrates how to follow Jesus in easy and difficult times. And as both the biological families and the church family grows with new generations coming along and being born, the Christ-centeredness and the Christ-following can continue. Children and teens need to see believers working out their faith. The church is more than just a building, it's the people. And as Christ-centered individuals and families follow God's commands, the church then is able to faithfully carry out the mission of reaching the next generation.
I want to talk about the church dropout rate for just a moment. Sometimes it's referred to as church drift. In our second Lifeway research study, done back in 2017, asking 22 to 30-year-olds who had attended church regularly for at least a year in high school, that if they continued going to church for at least a year between the ages of 18 to 22, so graduating from high school, either going into college or going into the workforce, 66% said that they did. That's pretty encouraging. But then it goes on to say, while 69% say that they were attending church at age 17, that fell to 58% at age 18 and 40% at age 19. Once they reach their 20s, around 1 in 3 say that they were attending church regularly. So those numbers go down, and that's concerning. It just proves that leaving a legacy is hard to do when we see youth drifting away from the church. Maybe it's job, maybe it's sports, or maybe it's just losing a lack of interest. So leaving a legacy is hard, even for myself. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up going to church. Yeah, when I was younger, you know, that old joke, I had the drug problem. I was drugged to church every Sunday. But as I started getting in my teenage years, I actually wanted to go. But then I went off to college, and I went to a Bible college about 1,100 miles away from home. And at first, it was exciting, and would go visit different churches and visiting. But after a while, it became really easy to get out of that habit. In fact, for most of my freshman year, I attended one of two popular places, either Bedside Baptist or Pillow Presbyterian. But, you know, it was just easy. It was easy to get out of the habit of going. But God used my RA. His name is Kurt Sauter, actually grew up in Tremont, Illinois. He was my RA, and he noticed that I wasn't attending church on Sunday. He didn't chastise me, he didn't make me feel guilty, but he simply invited me to go to church with him and help me get back into a regular pattern of being connected with the church. And in my senior year, he actually gave me my first opportunity to be involved in youth ministry, and as they say, the rest is history.
That's amazing. And that's why we here at Northwoods are committed to helping students grow in their relationship with Jesus, to discover how God has created them and how the Holy Spirit has gifted them. We want to provide as many opportunities as we can to help students find a place to use their gifts in the church. That same study shows that one way to fight church drift is to get students plugged in and serving when they are young. And by showing them that they can contribute and that God can use them, many will continue to serve and be a part of the church even after high school, locally and globally as well. And we're encouraged here at Northwoods to see many of our teens involved, many of our teens serving already. As a matter of fact, we have over 100 teenagers that serve in children's ministry in Discovery Land all the time. That's amazing, 100 students serving in Discovery Land. And there are students that serve in all sorts of places in the church, on the tech team, in Quest and in Converge, in the cafe, and in lots of different places. And today, being Next Gen Sunday, we even have more of them serving in all sorts of locations. So our hope is that these students will see they have a purpose, they have a place in the church, that God can use their gifts and they can serve God and serve others and leave their own legacy of faith.
We've developed a ministry for our 7th through 12th graders. You don't have to come on Wednesday night to Converge to be a part of it, but if you're in 7th through 12, it's called a ministry shadowing program. And it's designed to do a few things to help students discover how God has gifted them. As believers, we are gifted by the Holy Spirit, but discovering what those are, as well as discovering just what their natural abilities and talents are, and then we try to help them get connected by shadowing different ministries within the church or even in our community. Because again, we want to see students know that they are gifted by God. They do have a purpose in the church, and show them how they can start to get connected. And so we have a Next Gen table out in our lobby today, and we'll have information about that and other things for Discovery Land and student ministries that you might be interested in.
So we've now covered three reasons to invest in the next generation of the church. And they are, we have a biblical mandate, the next generation needs an authentic example, and we want to leave a legacy for the future church. So if we have three out of seven, that means we have four left.
All right, so we're going to look briefly at four investment opportunities. And folks, the first investment opportunity is just simply to pray. Praying for the next generation, for our students, for our children, the children of this church. Folks, I hope you know that there is power in prayer. And I love that prayer is just part of the DNA of Northwoods. We want people to know the value of prayer, the power of prayer, the healing that comes from prayer. We could talk about prayer for quite a while this morning, but really we want to take our time focusing on this opportunity by reading what Paul writes to the church at Colossae in chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Paul says this, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and praise him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." Folks, if you will just commit to praying for the next generation of this church, you will have a huge impact in seeing God working with the legacy of the church. So will you commit to praying for our students?
Investment opportunity number two, join the team. We're always looking for adults who love Jesus and want to share God's love with students and kids. We want you to serve in Discovery Land, Quest, and Converge. And we can even work with you to help find your best fit in the ministries. Speaking of best fit, we have an amazing volunteer, Jeff. You might have seen him this morning. He fits in our Discovery Land mascot costume, Bruce the Moose.
That's a great name, by the way.
It is a good name. And that just helps families feel that Northwoods is a welcoming and fun place. We even have fits. We even have a place for you if you don't even want to or like to work with kids and teens. We have investment opportunities for you there. You can work behind the scenes, getting some stuff ready, or maybe even helping check parent pickup tags. So I want to encourage you to seek God in prayer. And then I want you to join the team and serve with us. Bruce or I would love to connect with you to see and talk about opportunities. And you can always inquire through the website. And of course, afterwards, you can take a look at the table out in the lobby and talk to one of our team members out there.
Investment opportunity number three is just be engaged in the church. Folks, it's been said from this stage many, many times, and it really is meant with sincerity, that there is not a ministry at Northwoods that does not benefit because of people like you just serving as volunteers. And although we would love to have you join our team, if you're just engaged in the church, attending, going to classes, serving in different ministries, just by your involvement, you are being an example to the next generation. So our admonishment today is just thank you and to keep it up.
So investment opportunity number four, love Jesus. Kids and teens are watching. Sometimes we complain they don't hear what we say, and that may be true, but they are watching what we do. Are we modeling what an example of loving Jesus looks like? I know I'm not perfect, and I'm guessing you probably aren't either, but we need to show, not just tell, the next generation what it looks like to love Jesus. Kids and teens need to see how we continue to follow Jesus even after a stumble or mistake. As we desire to live faithfully as Christ followers and rely on his strength, it should be evident in good times and in tough times when we face challenges and setbacks. And during all of these times, we can model what it looks like to our children and the children and youth of our church, what it means to love Jesus.
Earlier in our message, Pastor Chris quoted from John 1 in chapter 8, Jesus is the light of the world. And I don't know if you've just ever stopped to just think about the truth of when it says that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus established the church and he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we know that there is power, and when the light shines, there is no darkness that can overcome the light of the gospel, the light that we as followers of Jesus Christ get to shine, and to shine so that the next generation will see it, want that, and shine, and then pass that on to the generations to come. We have one final illustration that we want to give to you to just show this. So if the house lights could go down, that as you and I as individuals, as we choose to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we are choosing to let our light shine. And when we as individuals shine our light, we're part of that darkness scattering. When light comes into the room where it's dark, the darkness flees and it's removed.
And as more and more people receive Jesus as their Savior and begin to live for him, the light increases. And as you and I invest in the children and teens of today, we're investing in the mission of the church. And the light of the gospel, even in this dark world, will continue to increase.
And as we see future generations answer the call to be followers of Jesus Christ, then we ensure that the legacy of the church lives on, so that the church here and around the world can continue to shine a light that is bright. And so just look as we see that as these four lights shine on that mirror ball, the light starts to reflect and it starts to increase. And what an incredible picture of what happens when we individually are living for Christ and when we invest in others and show them their need to live for Christ. We get to be part of that truth and that power, that the light is powerful and the darkness cannot overcome it. I invite you to stand. Our worship team is going to lead us in a closing song. It's titled Holy Spirit Come. It was actually written by our worship team here at Northwoods. And the message is just incredible. I just ask that as they sing, that you might just pray and just invite the Holy Spirit to come and work in your life, to work in this church, to continue working in this church, and to work in the next generation. The Holy Spirit has power to change lives, and we want to see that life-changing power take place right here in Northwoods. Northwoods is having an impact around the world through our members, through our ministry partnerships, through our church planting. What an opportunity we have to be part of seeing what God is going to continue to do for generations to come. Father, I just thank you. Thank you for allowing us to know you, to have fellowship with you, and that you give us purpose,
and that you've allowed us to come to know it.
And I pray that if there are those here who don't yet know what their purpose is in you, Father, that you would reveal that to them. But God, that we as a church would answer the call to invest in the next generation. Father, we have a calling, we have an obligation, a biblical mandate to do that. Father, put it on our hearts to love you and to help the next generation love you and continue to fulfill the mission of the church. Holy Spirit, come, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clear away.
thanks for being with us here this morning. Thanks for watching online. Check out the Alpha Table out in the lobby. Don't forget the Discovery Land and Quest and Converge booth out there as well. This week, shine God's light wherever you are. Leave a legacy. Thank you.
What a great message from Bruce and Chris. We're so excited that you guys joined us this week.
Good. It's all right.
Yes, we want to remind you that if you want to do the Alpha class, you can get more information on that online.
And Baptism Sunday is coming up, so make sure to get signed up if you're interested.
Yes, we're so happy you came and joined us for Next Gen Weekend. Looking forward to seeing you next week.